Now, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, is under fire for claiming that the majority of people in Northern Ireland, including unionists, will want to become Irish after Brexit. The former UKIP MLA, David McNary, is with us. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, good morning. Nice to talk to you, David. And SDLP MLA, Claire Hanna. Good morning to you, Claire.
Morning, Stephen.
This is, again, an article in today's Belfast Telegraph, Claire, in which Leo Varadkar is saying that lots of people, indeed the majority of people, he says, in Northern Ireland will want to become Irish following Brexit. This has been branded ludicrous by other politicians, including the DUP's Gregory Campbell. Mr. Varadkar also looks at the amount of people in Northern Ireland wanting Irish passports for convenience and other matters, Claire.
Well, you know, we'll see as this all evolves. But and while I don't have the stats to hand, what he's suggesting is borne out somewhat in the reported rise in people applying for Irish passports. So I think what he's saying is true. And it's people are pragmatic. And a lot of people, whether or not, you know, they're not changing their affiliation necessarily, but they will want to, for example, proceed through queues a little bit more quickly. You know, when you go to an airport and there's EU passports and non-EU passports, things like access to health cover. And people are reasonable about that. That's not to say that they won't feel British anymore. People aren't one-dimensional like that. But I think it's a paranoid response to suggest that absolutely people wouldn't do this. And as I say, it'll be borne out as we go along. Whether or not they're adopting Irishness as their identity remains to be seen. The Good Friday Agreement allows them to do that. And if the UK continues on an isolationist sort of trajectory where it does reject integration and things like that, then maybe more people will see Irishness as their future and in their identity.
Do you think it is any question, David McNary, of someone's allegiance to Britishness, to their British identity, if they get an Irish passport?
Well, I think it is. And I've been treating Varadkar's comments as quite mischievous, tongue-in-cheek, because this emanates from the dual nationality confirmed in the Good Friday Agreement. But I now believe, and I think most people believe, that Brexit has cancelled all that. The thing is, you know, that those are, that the Brexit or Varadkar's maybe appealing to are people who never would and never could be British. He's talking about some kind of hybrid chameleon citizen with an Irish passport that is also an EU citizen passport.
Yeah, but what about...
That excludes the British.
What about those people, Gregory, who...
David,
Gregory Campbell's been commenting on this.
Yeah, okay.
What about those people, David, who... consider themselves British, but you say it's a question of their allegiance if they get an Irish passport. What about those people who get an Irish passport for convenience and want to remain an EU citizen, and that's it? Do you still question their loyalty to the Crown?
There'll always be some kind of wishy-washy unionists who want to be Europeans. They would have been the people who actually voted to stay in the EU. They would have been the people who contributed to the vote that we had here. But thankfully, the majority of British unionist people contributed to the overall majority of 1 million people who wanted to leave and voted for Brexit. You'll always have those sort of people. And you know.
But why are they being disloyal? Why is it disloyal to get a passport?
Well, they've got to ask themselves the question. As far as I'm concerned, I can't wait to get my British passport. I really can't wait until to get it, I don't know what colour, let's hope it's blue, to get that British passport back that we used to have. Insofar as other people who say that they're British even indicate that they're unionist of some kind and saying that they want to be Irish, some kind, as I say, some kind of hybrid, that's not really on there.
But David, Claire, I'll let you come back in 1 second, Claire. I'll let you come back in 1 second. But David, just explain to me why, in your view, you think it is disloyal to the Crown to get an Irish passport while holding on to your British passport?
Well, it's a contradiction, Stephen. I can only answer for myself. As I said earlier, I believe Brexit cancels out the dual nationality idea and the idea that you could have both an Irish and a British passport under EU citizenship, because that goes out the window when we're not EU citizens anymore. In terms of disloyal, as far as I'm concerned, I'm British. I have no interest in being Irish, so why would I want an Irish passport? If somebody wants it for some convenience, they've got to explain to me if the convenience is, as Claire says, well, it'll be more convenient to go through passport control at an airport. I think loyalty stretches an awful lot longer and better than that, than just saying, well, I'm British, but I tell you what, just so I can get quicker through an airport control, I'll be Irish for the day.
Claire Hannah?
That's absolute cock-a-hoop to me.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think David, as he frequently does, is ascribing a lot of motive that, you know, Leo Varadkar said this maliciously. I think Leo Varadkar is making an observation that many...
Well, hang on, Claire. I didn't say he said it maliciously. I said he said it mischievously. Well, just get your facts right, Claire. I didn't say maliciously.
David, you had a mischievously. You had a big long rant there. I'm allowed to have a couple of minutes here. And I think the opposite. I don't think anybody, you know, it wasn't on the ballot paper that are we cancelling the Good Friday Agreement, as David is suggesting. And in fact, I think it's the opposite, the Good Friday Agreement, that clearly that fundamental centre of it, David, never grasped, that the people can be British or Irish or both as they so choose.
What it said in that was recognise the birthright of all people of Northern Ireland to identify themselves and be accepted as British or Irish or both, as they may so choose, and accordingly confirm that their right to hold both British and Irish citizenship is accepted by both governments and would not be affected by any future change in the status of Northern Ireland.
Claire. Yes,
and That's before Brexit.
Hold on, Claire.
Is it not fair?
Yes,
if
go on, Claire.
And I think, you know, post if Brexit goes ahead in this way, I think actually we'll be doubling down on that, whereas at the same time, as people can be British and Irish, they can be European and not European as well. But like I say, people aren't as one-dimensional as David wants to imply. Before I was in politics full-time, I worked in overseas development, and people who do a lot of travelling, a lot of people here would have taken two passports, partly for convenience, but because people are entitled to feel a mixed identity, and very many people do. And I think the kind of people who are prescriptive about other people's identity, that you're not allowed to feel a little bit Irish, you're wishy-washy, if you do, are exactly the type of people who will drive people away from a British identity.
Claire.
I'm going to finish my point because I didn't get a chance to finish a lot of them. But people who, yes, they may be taking it for pragmatic reasons, but if they're told that they're a wishy-washy unionist, or they're a wishy-washy British person for wanting to remain attached to the European Union on the basis of a very narrow majority, that's the type of thing I think will drive people away from a British identity and towards an Irish identity that is more accessible.
But don't you, Claire, diminish the importance of someone's national identity when you speak as you do? You see it in, some people might argue, all its glory, for example, during, you know, the World Cup. When people take a pride in their country, in the flag of their country, in their identity as being loyal to a country. And for you to simply say that people can be both Irish and British at the same time,
Stephen,
and it doesn't matter to them, it matters to a lot of people.
But I'm not saying it doesn't matter to them. People might feel true blue British and still access their Irish passport, and then become a little... And it's interesting. You've been
Claire,
talking about people. Hang on.
Claire, you're never going to be British and Irish. You're only going to be Irish, Claire. So allow me only to be British.
Because like
you're not ever going to be British and Irish.
About what other people are allowed to be.
Are you going to be British and Irish, Claire?
Stephen, you've asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it. You've been talking about people who are comfortable supporting both teams on the island. People's identity can't... Yes, I'm Irish. I feel, to be honest...
You're never going to be British.
You're so rude, David. You're so rude. And this is why people don't want it. This is, I suspect a lot of other people won't come on and make these points because they're not that rational. But if you are, if we're both asked on, it's only fair that we both...
Okay, well, let's let Claire finish.
...in the background. So, yes, no, I do feel Irish. And there are aspects of Britishness and things, institutions of Britain, like the National Health Service, like the BBC, that I'm very proud of as well. But the type of narrow Britishness that people like David... advocate, that doesn't like Johnny Foreigner, that doesn't like people being, you know, having other aspects of their identity, that drives people away from Britishness.
Okay.
Now, Britishness isn't my identity, but what you're going to do, you're going to drive a lot of people further and further away. Who
David,
might take a passport for...
Okay, David McNary, some people might argue it's just a piece of paper. It's just a passport.
It's an identity. And that's why it was called in the Good Friday Agreement, Stephen, dual nationality.
But it's not, the passport is not an identity. If some people are getting a passport simply to get a shorter queue in an airport, simply because they want to remain a European citizen, an EU citizen, are you really saying that makes them any less British?
I am, yes. There is no halfway measures with this, Stephen. You either want to be British, feel British, and are British, and you don't. And there's no point in kidding yourself whether or not you have this idea of dual nationality. This is about the EU. This is about the convenience that was inside the EU that, you know, you could have a dual nationality, you could have a passport that, you know, you get on the plane, we're all going from Belfast, and you look to see who's got a passport that says Irish EU, and you look to see who's got one called British EU, and we're all from Northern Ireland, and we're all dead happy. It then comes back to the situation that we were asked to decide, do we want to be EU citizens or not? The majority of people in the United Kingdom said, we want to be British. And that's where the Britishness comes in. Quite simple.
The majority of people, obviously, in Northern Ireland said that they wanted to remain, but actually the scenario...
The majority of Irish people.
But actually, and I think that speaks to something really fundamentally quite sinister. You've made this point before, as if the votes of people who don't identify as 100% British somehow don't count. You accused me before of voting under false pretenses because I used an Irish passport, and I think that's a wee bit disturbing,
right,
that you don't recognise the entitlement of people here to have their identity.
Okay,
actually, the scenario you outlined where everybody, you know, people were from here and it didn't matter, we all had passport, we're all going in the same direction, that was actually quite positive. And just because people in England and Wales voted to leave the European Union, I don't think we should rip up that possibility.
Here's Michael at Utnavi. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'd like to make a very valid point, specifically to Claire. Claire has been rather disparaging about those who are deemed to be one-dimensional, i.e. British. She's also went on about herself. She feels Irish. The Good Friday Agreement is based upon your birthright, i.e. where you were born. That is identified within your birth certificate. Now, I would like to ask Claire, where was Claire born?
I was born in Galway.
That makes you Irish, Claire, right?
But you see, the point is, people
Claire,
around the world...
Does it or doesn't, based on the Good
Friday
Agreement? Yes,
it does make me Irish. It does, of course,
right,
make me
Therefore,
Irish.
You're one-dimensional. The very thing you're disparaging about.
You're the one who's shouting and roaring about what people
I'm not
can
shouting,
and can't be.
Sorry,
and some,
I'm sorry.
And some,
I'm asking
sorry,
you a
very well, let's let Claire reply to you, Michael.
Sure. No, I'm Irish. I haven't said otherwise, but I can accept people. A lot of people identify, and a lot of people who carry both passports identify as both British and Irish. A lot of them are doing
your,
it for pragmatic
sorry,
reasons.
Claire,
I actually...
The Good Friday Agreement determines your birthright based upon... your identity based upon your birthright. So
the
you cannot be both. You may feel British, but if you were born in Ireland...
Well, actually, the Good Friday Agreement allows you to be both. I actually wonder how many people, and I know there is a stat about this, how many people feel Northern Irish?
24%, Stephen.
Thank you.
I was looking at something else in status. I think it's 22 or 24%. And that's
feeling
the
Northern
of,
Irish as opposed to being British
about.
Or
and
Irish.
Yeah, and that presumably is people whose identity is more fluid. And you know what? Regional identity is very... Like, my husband's from Dublin. He'd tell you he's from Dublin before he'd tell you he's from Ireland, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
A regional identity is a very rational, normal thing to have.
Raymond and Claugher wants to speak to David McNary. Good morning, Raymond.
I just wanted to say, David seems to have a wee bit of an identity crisis there. But what he should do is he should get on a plane, go to Heathrow Airport, and as soon as he gets off the plane, go to the baggage department and say, oh, I'm suffering a little bit of amnesia here. Could you tell me what nationality I am? And they'll tell him where he's from. They'll tell him his nationality.
What's
as soon as he opens his mouth, they'll tell him what his nationality is.
What's your point to David McNary?
I'm telling him he's claiming to be so British, but when he goes to England, the British will tell him he's Irish.
David,
do you really want me to comment on that garbage?
Well,
what's the guy trying to do? Does he think that, you know, the British people from Northern Ireland are some kind of idiots? Get real, whoever you are, from Clocker.
The English people will tell you what where you're from when you speak, when you, as soon as you open your mouth, David.
What does that mean?
They'll tell you that you're Irish.
Well, they
you
will...
walk over into the Heathrow Airport and speak to somebody in the terminal there, and they'll say to you, oh, are you Irish?
Well...
They'll not say to you, oh, you're British from Northern Ireland.
No, but
you're Irish,
David. All right, let me just play with you then. If they did happen to say to me...
For what reason I would
land at Heathrow and ask anybody, could you tell me what I am, who I am and where I'm from? But if they happen to say to me, you're Irish, and it's been said to me before, I'd just politely correct them and say... No, I'm Northern Irish.
Here's Frankie.
Change your identity already. You're Northern Irish now. You're not British.
No, they get it. Because they know when I say I'm Northern Irish that I am British.
And that it's your choice, David. They know that it's your choice to identify how you want. And just,
here's Frankie and Clock Mills. Claire, morning, Frankie.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. I have one question for Mr. McNally and a statement to make as well. Mr. McNally, who died and made you God to tell me what I can and cannot be? And the statement is, and you've seen this advert on TV, you replace all of the water in your body in 8 weeks, which means if I go to India for 8 weeks, 60% of me is the Ganges, which is Indian. It's a nonsense. It's just who you pay your tax money to.
I think that's a belief a lot of people would share. You have a strong identity. I have a strong identity, but it doesn't mean that you can't. You know, people can't be broad in that. David, I visited over the summer, went to France and visited the grave of my great uncle who died in the First World War. Do you think anybody asked him what nationality he was? Did they check him? Were they so prescriptive? And if he felt Irish, he wouldn't have been allowed to go over and do that. People are broad.
I'm quite sure they didn't. But the fact about it is, people are being asked now today. We've been asked now today. Because of the mischievous remarks made by Leo Varadkar, and we've been asked most certainly now because of Brexit. And there's no doubt, because of Brexit, and when Brexit settles in, there will be no dual nationality.
Well, there is.
You will be British. You will be British outside the EU, or you'll be like you, an Irish.
Okay.
EU citizen.
Sorry, it doesn't.
Michael in North Belfast has a question for Claire. Morning, Michael.
Go on ahead, Michael.
Hello, Claire. Hello, Steve.
Morning.
It's more of a statement. It's just like I said to Claire, that I reckon if she had a choice to pick between the Irish tricolour and the blue flag of the EU, she'd pick the blue flag of the EU every time.
I feel very Irish and very European, and I don't think I don't see those things as mutually incompatible. I'll be really honest with you. I'm not dying about flags. I think, you know, living here almost my entire life, I think there's negative connotations. If I never saw another flag for the rest of my life, I'd be quite happy. But I feel very Irish. I speak Irish. I travel throughout the island of Ireland repeatedly. But yes, I feel very European, and I don't think there's anything wrong.
What's your problem with that, Michael?
Well, how many people have fought and died for the blue EU flag, Martin?
Well, because the
many an Irish man
EU
have fought
flag,
for the tricolour.
It's not about fighting
the tricolour.
And it's about cooperating and raising all of our living standards together. And that's something I'm much more into that than things that you have to fight or die for.
Tony and Lagboard, Max.
To live together for.
Morning, Tony.
Good morning, Stephen.
Say good morning to David McNary.
David McNary. David, you made a statement there about 5 minutes ago. But only the Irish people voted for to stay part of Europe. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
Yes, here, only the Irish people. Well, then, under the Good Friday Agreement, the majority of people here voted to stay part of the United Europe. So that makes them...
Well, I think you're giving it away now.
Hold on a minute. So the statement is, under the Good Friday Agreement, it becomes the majority of people who want to be Irish, there'll be a referendum. Well, you're making out that the majority of people want to be Irish. Well, there should be a referendum. Because the majority of people actually voted to stay part of the EU.
And just to further on that, if there is a border poll and a majority of people decide that they want to be in United Ireland, which will include access to the European Union, that doesn't mean that people who didn't vote that way suddenly their Britishness dissolves away and they don't have that identity.
I think we need to let David
somebody
reply.
Else making a vote doesn't change who you are.
Go ahead, David.
I'm sure you'd love to transfer this negative Brexit vote.
I've done exactly the opposite, David.
Into United Ireland vote, because that's really what people like you, nationalists and Republicans, are really after. You want a border poll on the back of the Brexit vote in Northern Ireland. You're not going to get it, and we're coming out of the EU. So really, let's try and live with that, Claire. Just live with that. Without all this annoying stuff that's going on from the Taoiseach and everybody else, we have enough problems on our plate without him trying to convert people into Irish.
Well, can I say, David, I think you are probably one of the greatest recruiters for an Irish unified Ireland, because I think the manifestation of identity that you have that doesn't allow anybody, you just can't accept everybody doesn't think the same way as you do, and you don't accept their views as valid.
If people aren't like me, proud to be British, then they'll convert to anything. Quite frankly, they're no good to me, man or beast. And if those sort of people are about, no matter who they are, and they can't stand up for their Britishness and they can't be proud to be British, why proclaim somewhere down the line that it suits you to be British one day, suits you to be Irish the next day, and we'll have some kind of hybrid citizenship?
Well, we started this out, of course, saying that if you get an Irish passport and hold a British passport at the same time, does it diminish your loyalty to your nationality, whichever way you identify? Michael in Belfast. Morning, Michael.
Stevie, I think young David should just wind his neck. And look, let's face it, you're the same. You go to the mainland, you go to England. Once you set foot there, you're an Irishman, you're a party. I go with a lovely girl from England, and she's over all the time. And she tells her relations and friends, she's going over to see Michael in Ireland. And I joke, I says, no, you're not, you're going to Ulster. Because although I'm a Catholic, I'm a proud Ulsterman. Ulster was always apart from the Republic of Ireland from ancient times. But we are, by definition, when we go over there, you're considered an Irish person. And at the end of the day, does it matter? If these people could get rid of these hang-ups about nationality and get together in Stormont, I forget who once said, I think it was John Hume, said, you can't eat a flag. Why don't they get down and wise up? They can't agree on a budget. There's poor people who can't avail of necessary health care because of this, and there's other implications. It's an absolute disgrace. And recently, as you saw, I think Mr. What's-his-name, Brokenshire, he threatened that he would withhold their salaries. Why doesn't he bloody well do so?
David, just before we go today, Michael, thank you. We've been asking a question of people over the last week or so, if they swing both ways. Insofar as would they be prepared, for example, to support the Northern Ireland football team and the Republic of Ireland football team, David, in the qualifiers here, and indeed as the championship continues, would you be prepared to swing both ways, David?
I'm a great and a pledged sport. Always have been a sports person. I haven't a problem with that whatsoever. Northern Ireland is my team. I'm actually a great fan of Martin O'Neill. I think he's a great guy. I neither do race, religion, or any of those things, and particularly not in sports, Stephen. So I don't know what you mean by a swinger. It used to be something in my youth, but wasn't too sure whether I was one or not.
You weren't sure whether you were a swinger in your youth?
I'm not too sure.
Really? Well, there's a story. I think you and I need to talk.
I think we do, maybe. Yes, okay.
You did a bit of swinging in your youth, David.
Well, they called, as I said, I wasn't too sure. I think they called it swinging. I hope none of my mates from yesterday phone up and say, well, you did this, David, you did that.
I think the papers will be on to you right now.
Well, your definition of a swinger, maybe, and my definition might be something different.
We need to find out.